Building a successful real estate career requires you to adapt, pivot, and constantly master new skills.
We're Katie and Daniel Steinfeld. We've built our own innovative brokerage, and in this podcast, we've assembled actionable tips and strategies that you can implement to take your business to its maximum potential.
It's time to level up. Level up. Here we are, level up, episode number 43, I think. 44.
I'm like, oh, you actually know what episode we're on?
We're up there. I was looking at it. We're like, we've done it every week. So we are actually like 80% of the way through our first year.
All right.
So call that 40 something. That's where we are. And so, with that said, what are we going to talk about this week?
Today, we are talking about lead management and how to effectively manage those leads and establish a follow-up plan for each type of lead that you have. And it's part of our last 100 days that we're doing. And this is kind of the focus we have for the next couple of weeks.
That was really like strong. Did you notice how strong you were talking there?
Well, you said the last time my level wasn't good. So I'm trying to.
You just leveled up.
I'm trying to level up my voice.
That was aggressive. It was good though. I'm not worried about your droplets.
I'm projecting.
You're projecting. You are. Okay. So let's talk leads. People like talking about leads. We've talked about ways to get them, but that's not what this is about. This is about what you do with them.
Yeah.
So, all right. So how do we want to start here? We can talk about who we've actually got already in our big smattering of people who we know and might be in our database somewhere.
Right. Yeah. Well, I think the moment you start in real estate, you've got leads, whether you know it or not. And yep. It's really about establishing who they are and how often you should be following up with them. And I think everybody gets the advice of introducing yourself and the new career choice you have to your sphere of influence. Mm-hmm. And that's a great place to start.
And so sphere of influence, if we really break that down, that is everybody who is in your immediate or even extended network now. It's just everybody. If you were to go into your Gmail mm-hmm. and click on contacts, virtually every name
or
that's in
Facebook.
There. Or anywhere. Yeah. These are just people with whom you've interacted. It could be close friends. It could be potentially friends of friends, family, coworkers, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
That is your most immediate, warmest set of leads that you have right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think a big mistake that a lot of agents make is that they see these people on social media consistently. So they figure they can consistently follow up with them, you know, without an actual plan, but just whenever they happen to see them online, they can just send them a message. And although that might work sometimes, you're not going to capture everybody that you want to maintain contact with on a consistent basis.
And also the message, especially when you're dealing with your sphere, unless it's a directed message that has an intent to accomplish something for your business to all of them, you're not going to be able to have a consistent, applicable message to all these people if you're going at them as one-offs or you're going at them sporadically.
Yeah.
Because what's driving you right now to send them a message, right? Like mm-hmm. you said, if you see them on Facebook, it's weird if somebody comes to me, and people do. People will send a message that says, hey, you know, now they won't because I guess they know I'm in real estate. But regardless of what they do, when someone comes out of nowhere and starts a conversation with me about something they're trying to sell right out of the gate, and I didn't even know they were doing it, I think that kind of leads to, from my opinion, I think we share the same opinion on this one. You're talking about your sphere. Before you go at somebody one-off or otherwise with a pitchy salesperson approach, especially someone you haven't spoken to in a while, start to grease the tracks a bit with letting people know what you do and letting people know, especially if this is people in your social circle, like, keep them engaged with your own progression in your profession progression, because it's a lot more comfortable when you just start letting people know what you're all about and what you're doing and why, rather than out of nowhere saying, hey, I sell real estate. Want to buy a house?
So you're saying, like, have a conversation and let it naturally flow out of that conversation?
Well, that's first conversation stuff. But I'm saying if we're talking about bucketing people and going to your sphere of influence, mm-hmm. these are the people who hopefully the close ones to you know you well enough to know what you're doing with your life. But starting to just build your profile in these spheres as someone who's doing this with your life and letting them know where you're at with your profession. You know, yeah. For me, transferring from accounting to football to consulting to real estate, if I would have just started messaging people one-off and saying, hey, are you looking to buy or sell a house? It would have been weird. Right. But for people to know, hey, I'm doing the courses. Hey, this all starts with hey. But like, you know, I've got a license now and you announce that and people know, or if you are already in the industry and you've never reached out to your sphere of influence, start celebrating things and pushing what you do so that these conversations can either start to flow to you, or when you broach the subject with somebody, it's not a really weird pivot that seems like you're only talking to them for the first time because you want to sell their house.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think when you're first talking about it, you want to be excited about it and just make a mention of it without making it a hard sales pitch or making it seem slimy.
Right.
And so, you know, I think most people have a good collection of different people they've met over the years, whether through real estate or through their sphere of influence, that they want to start bucketing into groups so that they know what they want to do with them. And I think the biggest mistake agents make is that they run right into buying a CRM system, but don't have a system around how they're going to manage those leads. And so they might import them all into their CRM system and then what, you know, like if you don't have a plan, you're just kind of like letting them sit there with no strategy at all behind it.
Right. And when we talk about CRM, I know it translates literally to customer relationship management. You need to look at it initially as contact relationship management, because you really have all these people. And if you're going to make use of a system to bucket people and to create the avenues you're going to communicate with them with, they might not all be customers or clients right now, but they're people who merit bucketing. And even for your own organization, just know who's who and where they fit in your own contact plan.
Yeah. But no, it's like I think back to like where I got some of my clients and, you know, what people that I used to work with in other professions. And it was a slow progression. And I remember speaking with one person who, when I started, like, you know, just, I think he had posted a reno of his kitchen. And I'm like, oh, that's really awesome. And like, then he dropped like, yeah, my agent says it's going to add whatever amount to the value of my home. And it was kind of like, you know, letting me know that he has an agent, which was fine, you know, mm-hmm. but like I continued the conversation and continued following up with them. And when they were ready to sell their place and buy a new one, they like I was the one they contacted because I had that consistent follow-up with them. And their agent, I guess, dropped off of the following up. And so I was the first one to come to their mind. And that's what you want to do. You want to be like the first person people think of when real estate comes into their minds.
Right.
And it doesn't have to be a personal thing. It could be a friend or a family member that's looking to get into, like looking to buy or sell a home. You know, that's the magic. Like if you can get somebody to like automatically think of you as a referral the moment it come like that subject comes up. Am I spitting on you?
You sure are.
I'm trying.
It's good though. That's and now I know you're being aggressive with your voice. It's projecting.
I need to like get used to projecting my voice because I'm like getting all this spit buildup.
It's all good. I haven't showered yet this morning.
Anyway, so that's what it is. I mean, so basically what we want to do is, and however you want to do it, there's no way to like figure it out. But for us, it's like cold lead, warm lead, hot lead. That's like pretty much the best way, I think, to bucket people, but it could be anything.
Yeah. And the other way you could bucket people is the type of person they are.
Yeah.
And the relationship you have with them, whether it is, like you said, coworkers, whether it's friends, whether it's family, past clients, current clients.
Yeah, but you just want to know what their motivation is as well.
Right. Well, that's it. There's buckets and there's sub buckets and there's all that. But yeah. When it comes to a contact program, you need to figure out what your messaging approach is, because that's going to fit clearly into whether it's warm, cold, hot, or whether it's messages that are geared towards people that have a certain relationship with you. But then once you're within the system, you now can use these systems generally. And when we talk about CRM systems, we've talked about them before. We're going to be talking about them for the next couple weeks in the OTB 100. There's a lot of tools and features you can get for these. But at its core, once you get past all the stuff that makes them fancy and helps them differentiate and charge you more money, it's really about, does this give you a mechanism to organize people and to streamline your contact and your messaging in a way that doesn't require you to sort and rewrite and click the send button 3,000 times every time you want to send a message?
Right.
So the one thing, though, that I think is useful when you've got your contacts is learning more about them and being able to populate their profiles within each of these buckets as well. Things like birthdays, things like home anniversaries. You know, if you learn things about them and you can make notes so that when you have these conversations, you can refer to things. But also, if there are things like special days, that you've also got systems geared in such a way that messages can go out to them to keep the contact alive with good reason.
Right. So I think if we're talking about people that have never worked with you before, like just leads, you know, the way to manage them is to establish how often do you want to be following up with these people. And so if they're just spheres of influence, they have no intent on buying or selling that you know of at this point, how often are you going to follow up with that person? Is it every 2 months? Is it every 3 months? Like, you kind of have to find, and maybe it's a matter of just kind of testing it out and figuring out how often am I not being annoying, but also reminding them that I'm here and available to help them. And so for me, that's every 3 months that I'm following up with those people.
Yeah. I think if you're confused how to answer this, 1 week is too often, 1 year is too long. Mm. And start with that and think about, look in your spam or promotions folder and see the companies or things that are sending you things very frequently, and understand that that has just become noise. And especially if it's in an unsolicited form of advertising, right? Yeah. It's noise when a real estate company or realtor continues to send things you didn't ask for once a week, once every 2 weeks.
And especially if it's your sphere of influence, like for me, I'm willing to take the time to personally follow up with them versus send them this mass email that I'm sending out to everybody else. I mean, there are uses for that, I think, for the non-personal contacts and leads that you have. But if it's, you know, somebody you used to go to university with, you want to send a personal message, and it doesn't take too long, every 2 or 3 months, just to send them a checking in type message.
Right. And that's where this isn't about automating a template that goes out every 3 months. It's about getting notified that it's been 3 months and I should really reach out to this person because we haven't spoken.
Yeah, it's a reminder, because that's the thing. Like, if you look back at how often you've reached out to somebody and you ask yourself, okay, how long has it been? You probably think it's a lot shorter than it has been in reality. Like, I think, you know, oh, I just reached out to them last month. And then it's like, no, I actually reached out to them 6 months ago, because time flies.
Especially during a pandemic.
Yeah, exactly. So establishing those buckets of leads that you want and how often you want to follow up with each of them. If it's a hot lead, you want to be following up with them as much as possible. If they're ready to buy or sell, you don't want to leave it for a month. You know, they'll probably be bought a place by the time you follow up with them again.
You do not want to call someone late only for them to say, oh, yeah, well, I didn't hear from you, so I went with such and such.
And then, yeah. And then,
thanks for your help, though.
Yeah, exactly. And then warm leads are those people that you know they're starting to casually look. And they, at that point, need information. They want to know, what are things selling for in the neighborhood they're looking at? Or what are things selling for in the neighborhood they're looking to sell within? You know, those points of contact and figuring out what is actually valuable for those people to know on a consistent basis can really go a long way.
Yeah, think of warm leads as people who just need a little nudge. Mm-hmm. They're the ones who it's not quite top of mind for them, but it's definitely something that's relevant to their situation. They've given you in some way a hint that things are happening, that they're considering things. And like Katie was saying, when we're talking about our sphere of influence especially, or keeping top of mind with people, I would say more than half of the transactions that start for me out of my sphere of influence begin with a real estate related question that's got nothing to do with that person actually buying or selling a home. Mm. It's where somebody, like you said, understands that I'm a realtor and I'm the first one they think about. So they start thinking about, what will it do to the value of my home if I want to replace my kitchen, but I might be selling in a year and a half?
Right.
Like, is it worth it? A lot of is it worth it questions. Mm-hmm. Or I just saw signs go up on, like, there's a lot selling in my neighborhood.
Yeah.
Can you tell me how they've been doing? They're not saying they want to sell, but that's a clear hint.
Right.
And this is where they go immediately from lukewarm to warm to hot. Yeah. And if you're getting those questions, they're giving you the hints. They're mm-hmm. telling you, okay, I've started the conversation. I'm courting you. Now come back at me with exactly what I asked for quickly, mm-hmm. which is what we talked about last week.
Yeah.
With how to respond to leads. And let's see where this conversation goes. And you can see how that would increase the frequency of you reaching out to them with some more real estate pointed discussion, mm-hmm. because they've opened the box on that. But that only happens if you've already established yourself with them as the top of mind realtor. Mm-hmm. That they know.
Yeah. And I think it's important to realize that if you're sending out emails to people, or, you know, you've got a list of people you're keeping in contact in a community with recent sales and things like that, you might not get responses. You might never get responses until somebody's ready to buy or sell. Like, people are still consuming the information, but they're not responding to you because they feel like there's no need to. Mm-hmm. But it's important to show up consistently. And that's why setting a consistent follow-up strategy for each type of lead that you have is just going to help you be that person that people will think of the next time they need you.
And think about the hybrid of the cold lead to the warm lead and what happens in that progression. So if we're talking about, let's say right now for cold leads, maybe there is something that goes out, maybe there's a newsletter, maybe there's, you know, a home values in their neighborhood thing mm-hmm. that they're seeing from you in a consistent basis. If you think about it, if you were to pick those people with an organized approach where, again, maybe once every 3 months, you supplement something that's automated with something that's personal mm-hmm. and just reach out saying, hey, I hope you've been enjoying my this. I'm here just so you know to talk about anything, or if you've got any questions or want me to adjust it or blah, 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 whatever it is. It doesn't even have to be in their face. The moment you supplement it with one of those, how much does that increase the probability that if there's anything going through their head, they now don't look at you as a robot, but a real person, and starts to make the progression where this is how they transition from someone who may not have even been a sphere of influence person. This might just be someone who signed up for a newsletter, or you got them as a cold lead. This is where they start to think, you know what? I do have a question. I'll ask.
Yeah.
And I'm not ready to sell yet, but this is getting me from cold to warm. And it's all about not rushing. Because people are going to buy and sell where they're going to buy and sell, but it's about being there and being somewhere on that track and knowing where people are in real time on the cold, warm, hot lead.
Mm-hmm. And the only way you can do that is by consistently following up with them.
Right. You can't guess. You
know? Yeah, exactly. And so let's talk about different ideas that you can use to stay in touch with people, because there's a lot out there. And yep. I think a lot of people just kind of hit a roadblock when it's like, okay, yeah, I can follow up with them, but what am I going to say each time? So what are some ways?
Well, are you talking about the medium that you use or the message that you give?
The message, the content.
Okay, so we talked on one basic one that I think is one everyone's familiar with, which is like a home values thing. So if you are able to bucket people and then understand what stream they came from geographically.
Yeah.
For example, I mean, we're focused on our immediate community here. You've done it in the past with, and you can talk maybe you talk about what you did in Islington Village is a really good example.
Yeah. Yeah. So, when we used to live in another community of townhouses, I created a Facebook group and just gave everybody a monthly real estate update of all the sales, all the new listings, and kind of like an evaluation of where we were at given that point in time in the market. And that's something, again, that not many people responded to. Maybe I got a couple of likes here and there, but people use that community group to ask other neighborhood-related questions. And when it did come time to buy and sell for a few people, they reached out to me because I was the person keeping them updated. The other thing that I've started to do that I find has been really impactful for a lot of people is if you just do a screen share on Zoom, you don't have to have them on the screen at the time, but just do a recording and go through the neighborhood in the last month or the last quarter, depending on how often you want to follow up with that person, and just let them know what's been going on in their neighborhood. It really is valuable when it's a video because you can show them the actual homes, you can point specific things out, and they're not having to do the work by like looking at the listings, like verifying what you're telling them kind of thing. Like you're showing them in real time exactly what's going on. And a lot of people have had a very positive reaction to that kind of a video.
Yeah. So those are real estate pointed ways of communicating with people. We've talked in the past about the other ways of communicating with people that still almost in a secondary soft way still communicate that you're in real estate, but are more of a focus on community. So when you're talking about the neighborhoods that you're engaged with, you know, with Facebook groups or whatever, you know, we've also got an approach where pushing things that are happening in the community, talking about events, being a source of useful information for people that doesn't bog them down with real estate, still establishes, I think for us, like when we've done things like that in our neighborhood now, people might not even the first few times know that we're in real estate.
Yeah.
But they know that we're engaged in the community and in the know.
Right. Or seasonal tips for home buyers and home owners.
Yep.
Like, you know, turn off your water when it gets close to below zero, you know, outside so that you're not going to deal with a plumbing issue come spring, or seed your lawn at certain points during the year. Like if you have a quarterly and it could be like a static thing, like you don't have to be updating it every single year.
Even some of these CRM platforms have like this long list of pre-done newslettery type things that have tips and things. And you can take those, and I mean, you can find things on the internet too, but like use your knowledge, build supplier lists, local resources that people can use. Hey, you need pest control. Hey, you need your lawn mowed, whatever. Mm-hmm. Here's a bunch of people who are local, who are still operating during COVID. Like make it a useful thing, because think about what a homeowner is thinking at a point in time, now especially, but wherever, you know, whenever you think about it, what are people's pain points? We talk about this and try to address those with information that you send out.
Yeah. So there's so many, like, I mean, the sky's the limit when it comes to different options and ways to keep in contact with people. It's just a matter of, again, as we keep saying, you have to set aside the time to come up with a strategy and decide how you're going to implement it. And it might seem overwhelming, like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be reaching out to hundreds of contacts every 3 months or whatever it is. But really, if you think about it, if you've got a strategy where like every day you're just reaching out to two or three people, if you've got like a massive list of people, you could do it. Like just, it's like half an hour out of your day. And that's part of your prospecting strategy. You're always going to be it. And you're going to see the returns of it very quickly, I think, if it's a consistent plan.
Yeah. Think about this as, you know, a snowball rolling down the hill.
A snow bowl?
A bowl of snow. That turns into a sphere. That's your sphere of influence rolling down the hill. But when you think about...
Yes, it gets bigger and bigger.
That's what I'm saying. That's because you start with whatever you start with, and people will all... We talk about it. It's not frustrating. It's just the wrong approach when people say... Are you going to give me leads? Where do I get leads? You have the leads. That's how we open this. You have the leads. And if you're nurturing them and you're working them and you're continuing to prospect in a responsible way.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. You can't just say, okay, I've got 300 leads or like spheres of influence that I know. Those are my people. Right. And I'm not getting anybody else.
That's just a ball.
Yeah.
It's not rolling. No. That's your snowball. Yeah. And snowballs melt. But when you're rolling them down a hill... They grow.
They do.
So you've got to push that ball. That's what you got to do.
Yeah. So when
you push the sphere.
When you're talking about like your daytime strategy, like that can be part of it. And it's really like an hour out of your day. And then prospecting to get new people into your database is another part of it, which can be added to your daily routine. You know, we've got to recognize that as realtors, it's a full-time job. You've got to treat it like that. You can't wake up at 11 a.m. and reach out, do a couple property matches and call it a day. Like that's not going to get you to where you want. And people that put the work in, treat it like a full-time job, are the ones that are doing big, massive volume every single year.
Yep.
And you can do it. And it seems so simple. And I know I'm talking about it like it's a simple thing, but it really is. You just have to plan for it.
And I thought you were going to say, but it really isn't. No, it is.
But execute. Yeah. That's it. But like you are your own boss, and that's the problem with a lot of people. So if you need an accountability partner, if you need somebody to keep pushing you, get that. But figure out what you need to do in your day and just do it. And part of it is this lead management.
That's right. Be consistent. Don't take a day off, because really 2, 3, 4 contacts a day.
Yeah.
And for the sake of your own business, like this isn't, we're not talking about here's a list of 100 names and numbers that you don't know.
Yeah.
Now let's get hung up on 99 times, mm-hmm. right? And we're all for cold calling, but mm-hmm. this isn't about the cold calling. This is about you've got the people already.
Yeah.
Use what you have. Don't find all the reasons why this isn't going to work. Mm-hmm. It's going to work. It's there. It's a long play. But when you've got hundreds of people, which could grow into thousands of people, and all you need is one at a time to come in, once you start that ball rolling down the hill, I'm going to roll with this sphere going down the hill thing. Once you start that happening, it's not going to stop. If you stay consistent.
Yeah, you got to keep pushing it.
Let your problem be, I've got too many people who want to sell at the same time. Yeah. Not, I don't know what to do next. Mm-hmm. And nobody's calling me back.
Yeah.
If no one's calling you back, make some more calls because you're not on the phone. Okay. Or send an email or do whatever you want to do. Anyway, with that, we're going to talk about it more this week and next in the OTB 100. We'll keep putting the link to it in the group here. But if you don't know, now you know. Join. You like that?
I thought you were going somewhere else with that. Like, whoa.
What? Like I was going to tell someone aggressive. To like, no, I'm not going to get angry. If you're not in, it's on you. You must have it all figured out.
So thanks for tuning in, and we will see you next week.
Later.
Bye.